Welcome to Above the Fold here on Real Talk 93.3. It's Tuesday. I'm your host, Steve Stewart. Don't forget to like us on Facebook at Above the Fold. You can stream the show live at realtalk93.com. Above the Fold is brought to you in part by Epps Decorating Center. If you're a homeowner, you should always be looking for ways to increase the value of your home. But it doesn't always have to be a major project. A fresh coat of paint can transform the interior and exterior of your home in a dramatic way. And I recommend you start with a visit to Epps Decorating Center, Tallahassee's premier Benjamin Moore paint retailer. Whether you need interior or exterior paint, high-end or commercial-grade coatings, Epps Decorating Center is ready to serve you. Give them a call, 385-6649. That's 385-6649. And we appreciate their sponsorship. And welcome to another week here as we break into the hurricane season, June the 1st. I hope you had a great weekend. Still some cool mornings. I don't know, Bobby, if you're up early enough to actually enjoy those.
Yeah, man. I've been getting up at like 6 in the morning.
Really?
Yes, sir.
Well, so, I get up early, and, you know, the big decision is to, if we're going to open the windows and enjoy the morning, which we have been able to do. And so, obviously, as we move into the summer, those will dissipate. But, again, it was enjoyably cool this morning. So, I hope you had a good weekend, as I said. A lot going on in the capital city. Blueprint meeting, 7 hours and 20 minutes. Blueprint meeting on Thursday. They took up, and as our listeners know, the Blueprint Intergovernmental Agency is a it's a great opportunity to report on what is happening with regards to millions of dollars of expenditures on projects that really impact us on a day-to-day basis. The IA, as they call it, is made up of the Leon County Commission elected officials and the city of Tallahassee. And so you get a little bit of everything. And these meetings always go long. And so we're going to have a rundown exactly what happened. There was a lot of very interesting issues on the agenda. We had the Project Mango, which got added. And there was a vote on that, and we'll discuss that. There was the vote on the stadium upgrades for Doak Campbell, and boy, they pulled out the guns there. They had the president, the athletic director, the football coach, Norvell, the basketball coach, Coach Ham. You know, I think even the girls basketball coach was there, so they really pulled out all the stops on that. They had a vote on the Tallahassee Community College upgrade for their athletic issues, or their athletic facilities, which have become a little outdated. And there's also the one that was probably the most contentious and has, which will have to come back to the Blueprint IA for another vote, was on the Northeast Gateway. And we're going to spend a separate segment talking about that, because it is a huge project which has gone through so much. A lot of amendments, a lot of public hearings with Karn Estates had a huge impact on what happened out there because of some of the original plans to extend Shamrock. And they went through and made these amendments, did a lot of traffic analysis. And actually, the meeting on Thursday was just supposed to, they had an 8-3 vote on the previous meeting. This meeting on Thursday was just supposed to be a formality, moving what they call the PD&E, which is the engineering document, to the State Department of Transportation. But it got pulled from consent, and, you know, a meeting broke out about that. And so we'll tell you what happened, what it means, and what are the possible outcomes in the future here. But this project was supposed to already have been settled, and now it is back up for debate, it appears. And there is a drop-dead date where some financial issues arise. We'll talk about that. But this is something that I think is, again, going to provide some insight onto which commissioners oppose growth policies and which ones support it. Now, you can say there's a little bit of nuance in between that, and we'll get into that, because I agree there is. But, you know, there's a lot of examples that we can talk about on why this Northeast Gateway is needed, and we'll run through those. We'll do that at the bottom of the hour. And in the last segment, we'll go through the City Commission has got a meeting scheduled for Wednesday, and they're going to be talking. They're going to be getting a clean energy update. We'll talk about, you know, what the goals are there. It seems to be a little bit bold. They're going to be addressing single-use plastics. I'll tell you about what that is. I had to look that up. And they've also got an audit on the City of Tallahassee's ethic culture, which I read over, and I'll give you the highlights, but some very interesting findings there. And it's, I tell you what, it's a credit to the City of Tallahassee that they actually did this audit. The findings are a little bit all over the place, but a couple of interesting ones. So we'll dig into that also. But on the way out of this first segment, a couple of things. Nikki Fried should be announcing she's going to run for governor today. I think she recently tweeted 2022 is going to be all about marijuana. Well, when are they going to write about her financial ties to marijuana if her governor's race is all about marijuana? I mean, you would think that would make it in an article at some point. So that'll be interesting to keep up with, and we'll let you know if she actually has declared. And then what was the other thing? Oh, yeah, the one other thing. There is we've got a story up. The Market District is going to become home to 100,000 square foot self-mini storage building. You can go to our website and look at where it is. This is a breaking story. No one else has reported it yet. But it is a four-story building right next to the Market Square Shopping Center and Gilchrist Elementary School, valued at $6 million. So this is going to be a big deal, but you can go check that out. All right. So when we get back, we're going to go ahead and pivot to the Blueprint meeting, and we will have some audio from that meeting also. So stay tuned. I'm Steve Stewart. You're listening to Above the Fold. Leaving home, out on the road, I've been down before. All right, welcome back to Above the Fold here on Real Talk 93.3. Before I get into the Blueprint meeting, just wanted to talk about an incident that appeared to have happened up in the northeast part of town, Royal Oaks neighborhood, just north of Klarna Estates. You know, I was able to find that there was an auto burglary reported in that area, but there's some disturbing video on one of these neighborhood websites that shows an event that we haven't really had a lot of reporting on, and we're digging into trying to get the report. But it sounds like there were some people going around looking to break in cars in Royal Oaks, and somebody opened the garage. I think it was 2 or 3 in the morning, and all of a sudden the gunfight broke out from both sides. Evidently, the people that were looking to burglarize cars started shooting, and the person that opened up the garage door had a gun and also started shooting. Now, it looks like this happened on Friday night, and, you know, there's nothing been officially released from the police department, and so we are still trying to figure out exactly what happened there. Look, there's something happened there because there's a picture of police cars at that intersection, and there is a video that I looked at that shows something transpiring also, so we'll try to get to the bottom of that. But again, just a you know, we try to cover crime here from a number standpoint, not to, you know, emotionalize or to you know, take these single events and blow them out of proportion. And we've reported about the move from, you know, the arrest numbers how they've gone down over the pandemic time, but and they haven't really increased. And, you know, there is some property crimes have sort of gone down, but violent crime has increased a little bit. And so anyway, we'll keep an eye on that. Wanted to get that out to you. Now, if we pivot to the Blueprint meeting, and what I want to do first, I'm going to go over what happened with the Project Mango vote, and then we'll play an audio of Jack Porter explaining her reasoning for voting against the project. She was the only one that voted against it. It was 11-1 vote. Now, for those who don't know, Project Mango is a The company that is behind this is anonymous right now because of some competitive factors in play, and this is sort of the way the economic development landscape works. Come in and they provide you with as much information as possible, but they want to remain anonymous until they feel like that this is going to happen. Well, this we know a lot about this. This is a fulfillment center. Looks to be about 700,000 square feet. They're looking at 1,000 to 1,500 new jobs. It's going to be out at the corner of Mahan and I-10. And so the vote, which was added to the blueprint meeting, was basically to approve this application to go back and negotiate with the company. This is not a done deal, but it's a, you know, it's a rather big facility on 180 acres. The vote was to approve the application and to allow the Office of Economic Vitality to provide about $2.6 million in incentives over the 6 years. Now, you know, the jobs are going to be provided are going to be minimum $15 an hour with benefits, it sounds like. We did some research at Taos Reports, and we had a pretty popular story up that looked at what had happened in communities, two communities where they had put in fulfillment centers, one with Amazon and one of them with Chewy.com. And, you know, there's critiques of providing these incentives. But what we could find out is they actually, these things, you know, are becoming commonplace, the fulfillment centers, and they do really create jobs. The one outside Charlotte of Chewy.com, I think within 3 months of them opening up, had already met their goal of 1,200 jobs, and just looked at it this morning. They're looking at hiring more people. So anyway, the vote, there was a lot of people who were very excited about this. This is going to be one of the biggest projects to ever come down the pike for the city of Tallahassee. Checked a number of the boxes in terms of being one of the target industries in logistics. Also was going to help diversify the economy. So it was pretty much positive from all the elected officials, except for one, which was Jack Porter, City Commissioner Jack Porter. And she, you know, to her credit, didn't just vote no and didn't explain herself. We have a story up about her vote and pretty much in her own words of why she chose not to. And we're going to play, I believe it's about a 2-minute clip. I think it's worth playing because it really gives you some insight into why someone would stand out. You know, she's on an island here. It'd been easier to vote, as she says at the beginning of this clip, it's easier to say yes than no. But she explains why she voted against it. So we'll listen to this and discuss it afterwards.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have a couple of points. It's always a lot more fun to say yes than it is to say no, but I cannot support this project. A couple of reasons. One, it feels super rushed to me without enough time for public input, although I do understand there will be other opportunities as the project moves forward, which I can see that it likely will. But some other points as well. You know, there's been a lot of time to study these kinds of local incentives. 70 and Brookings Institute and other reputable institutions have a lot of data on this that shows, you know, 75% of these kinds of incentives do not affect a business's decision about location. About 10 to 30% of new jobs go to residents who are not already employed. And that, so in one sense, there's not as much of a net job increase because they're coming from other sectors. I don't think that tax incentives are an effective way to boost employment. I support growth. I support diversifying our economy. You see that, you know, new transportation infrastructure, if we talk about the opportunity cost, other ways we could be spending this money, gets a 10 to 5 times greater return on your investment in cities and counties that have done that. And finally, I feel like I agree with Commissioner Proctor. I'm not sure we've had enough time to deliberate on what exactly we could get from this in terms of whether, you know, the vehicles are going to be renewable. Those kinds of questions that I think would be important to note. I also just want to say I don't really think $15 is a livable wage. But that being said, I can see where this is going. But I just wanted to make my position clear. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, so that is one of the more detailed responses you'll get on why someone votes the way they do. So that is to her credit for talking about that. But if you go through that list of, you know, she said it was rushed. These things happen this way. There are going to be some public meetings ahead of this, and there's still plenty of time to turn it down. So that is one of the issues. Incentives on relocation. This is not, considering what this is going to bring to the community, the incentive is not a lot of money over 6 years. But that, again, was a holdup for her. You know, the point that 70% of the jobs are going to come from somewhere else, that only 30% of the jobs will be filled by people that are not working, you know, we really don't know. I mean, obviously that's an average across the country that she's citing a report. And listen, there's some merit to that. But still, even if it's 30%, it's still people that don't have jobs are going to get jobs. You know, the opportunity cost, you know, I don't know. She, you know, her point about, you know, we could spend this money somewhere else. I'm not sure that the city commission or government has really got a good record of being very effective at spending money and creating jobs. I don't know where you would spend the other $2.6 million to create 1,200 jobs. So, I, again, understand her reasoning there. You know, the part about the $15 is not a livable wage. Look, I mean, for years now, people have been arguing, trying to get to $15. I saw in the fulfillment center that is up in North Carolina that we have referenced here, some of those jobs now are paying $18, $19 an hour, and they're looking to hire more people. So I don't know if Commissioner Porter was just looking for a reason to vote against this. But if you're voting against this project, I mean, Jeremy Matlow voted for it. Commissioner Bill Proctor voted for it. You know, I think you really raise some questions about, you know, what your thoughts are on how to create jobs in the community. And so that's going to be a question I think that Commissioner Porter will have to answer going forward. And so we'll keep up on that. Now, the next issue was the Florida State University stadium upgrades. This was wrapped up in with the convention center, which is going to be put on hold now, given the pandemic and some numbers. Some assessment that, you know, shed some doubt on exactly how effective this money would be used, being spent on a convention center. However, FSU pulled out the big guns to try to get the $20 million in upgrades for their for the stadium. There's evidently a $100 million plan in place to try to make the stadium more accessible to more events over a year instead of just 7 or 8 home games. And so that vote was, I believe it was 9-3. And I think it was Commissioner Matlow, Commissioner Porter, and I believe Commissioner Dozier voted against that. And so, again, pretty much overwhelming support for this. This comes after $10 million was given to FAMU. And then the TCC request happened previously, however, it was voted on, and that also went through. Now, that was unanimous. So you've got these three different votes. You know, one was 11-1, one was 9-3, the other one was unanimous on these economic development projects. And, you know, there's different reasons. But the FSU one, as I said, this is something that, you know, it's almost like you had to support it because of the partnership with FSU. I mean, the city has been investing over the last 10 years in Gaines Street to get things moved over to Gaines Street with these incentives to the Community Redevelopment Agency. A lot of successful businesses on Gaines Street now with the student housing that is there. That is sort of the economic development corridor for a lot of the athletics. And so this is only going to help that based on, you know, the information that was provided at the meeting. And so, again, three big projects, the TCC, FSU, and Project Mango. But when we get back, we're going to talk about the Northeast Gateway, another project which was really on the consent agenda, which meant it sort of had already been passed and there wasn't going to be a lot of discussion. It got pulled for discussion and sort of some fireworks took place. We'll run down what happened on that issue when we get back. I'm Steve Stewart. You're listening to Above the Fold. When it's time for leaving, I hope you'll understand that I was born a rambling man. All right, welcome back to Above the Fold here on Real Talk 93.3. I'm your host, Steve Stewart. This could be called the Blueprint Edition. We just finished talking about Project Mango, the FSU project, and TCC getting their upgrades for their athletic facilities. A lot of money going out the doors. But, you know, unlike some of the government money that's spent, this is things. These are things. They're going to things you're going to be able to see and actually hopefully will be having a positive effect on our local economy. Now, one of the projects that has been dealt with now for a couple of years and is very controversial in some quarters is the Northeast Gateway. And I want to give you a little background on this. Now, you know, this is the section of land known as Wilani Plantation, or it impacts the section of land known as Wilani Plantation between Centerville Road and Miccosukee Road, running out from Capitol Circle all the way out to I-10 and past I-10 to Roberts Road, a huge undeveloped piece of land that now is coming, one of the last pieces of land to really develop that is in the urban services area. And so the most popular development right now that actually where people are living is the Canopy development, which is right off of Fleischman Road there. And you've got a mix of retail, doctor's offices. There's a school back there that's been there, Holy Comforter, and now some residential units that were built. And the road that goes through there is Wilani. It's the Northeast Gateway. They call it Wilani Boulevard now. But the issue that was at the Blueprint meeting, or has been dealt with by Blueprint over the couple of years, deals with the path of that road going through the Canopy development. Now, what happened was early on, they were going to go and take this road up to Shamrock. Just picture this going parallel to Centerville Road and as far as Shamrock coming out of Killarney Estates. And they were going to connect Shamrock, which tees into Centerville Road now, over to this new road. Well, what happened then was Killarney Estates got involved, because the reason for doing that is to sort of alleviate some of the traffic issues that have developed in the Northeast Quarter on Thomasville Road. And if you remember, a number of years ago, Talas Reports was able to break this story. There's a plan to route traffic through Killarney Estates, through Velda Dairy, Cary Forest, and through Killarney Estates. And so we put the stop. There was when we published the story, the Blueprint officials, our CRPTA officials, transportation officials, put a stop to that. But that didn't change. I mean, all it did was put a stop to what they saw was a growing transportation or traffic issue. Now, if you fast forward, this connection to Shamrock, I think the concern from Killarney Estates was that Shamrock was going to become this new artery to relieve traffic from the Northeast. And so they hired some consultants, they hired some lobbyists, no doubt some attorneys, and they started negotiating with the Blueprint group of saying, look, we don't want this to happen. We're going to fight this. And so the negotiation, or the compromise that was worked out, is that they would go ahead and extend the road up to Roberts Road at the same time that they did the Shamrock extension, so that it wasn't just Killarney Estates which was going to have to deal with the traffic. So they went ahead and amended the project, which required a super vote, got it amended, and then went through the negotiation of where the road was going to go. This was just recent. And that was going to be a five-armed roundabout where the road is going to go behind Monford and Roberts Middle School and come and connect at Roberts Road and Centerville. And there was going to be a roundabout there. And so this was going to be part of the traffic infrastructure that would be built with this Northeast Gateway project. Well, it was voted, I believe it was an 8-3 vote. And so what was happening at this next meeting last week was they were just going to transmit the sort of the paperwork to the state, and it was on a consent agenda, which means there's really no time for discussion because it's already been voted on. But what happened is it got pulled and there were people there to speak. And so the Blueprint elected officials were put in a really bad position in the sense that you had these homeowners, a couple of them were in tears about how this was going to impact their land up off of Roberts Road. And, these were the same issues, you know, 2 months ago when I think they voted 8-3 to move forward with this. But this was just another bite at the apple. Now, what complicates this a little bit is that there's a June 30th deadline on submitting the paperwork to the state to get, I think it's $5 or $6 million in money from the state to go towards this project. And so what happened was a couple of the elected officials started leveraging these comments from residents, started talking about how nobody wants this project. And so it really did get the ear of some other elected officials. The big problem here, of course, was this June 30th deadline. And so what they've done is they've scheduled another meeting between, I think it's on the 17th is when they've scheduled the meeting, to try to respond to some of these residents and to get a better sense of, I guess, you know, why all of a sudden this program, this project, which was voted 8-3 previously, now hangs in the balance. And, you know, part of it is people that voted against it, Commissioner Jeremy Matlow, Jack Porter, Leon County Commissioner Bill Proctor, is that we don't need this. Why are we doing this now? We don't need to extend the road to Roberts Road. Why are we doing it? Well, you know, it doesn't take a bad, you know, you don't have to have a really good memory to remember the reason why you're extending the road is because you had a negotiation with Klarna Estates about what you were going to do previously, which was use that neighborhood to basically run traffic through to get it to this new road. So that's why you're doing it. Now, the other complaint was, well, you know, we're not going to be developing that area out there for another 5 to 15 years. Well, so you're planning, because you can need a road before you need development. And all you got to do is look at Bannerman Road to understand that. Bannerman now is a two-lane road that should have been widened years ago to facilitate the growth in that area, but it was not. So here, what you're actually doing is you're planning a road ahead of the development, and it also will be helping with traffic from the northeast. So that's a reason why this project was voted to go forward. In addition, the two schools that were built out there, you know, there's one entrance into Montford Middle School and Roberts Elementary School at Pimlico and Centerville Road. And the issue there now has become dire. That is just a nightmare to move around that area. So this new road, which will go behind Montford and Roberts Road, will provide another way to egress these two schools, which will, again, alleviate traffic problems with two schools that were very much needed. And so that's another reason to move forward with the road. Now, you know, we hear a lot of the people that say that's not needed. They're talking about we need to focus more on public transportation. You know, we have had this discussion on public transportation in the Northeast for going on 10 years. People in the Northeast do not ride buses, and they're not going to ride buses unless you just totally do away with roads. So, you know, I think that this, again, comes into a debate about how to grow, not only how to grow or where to grow, but how to grow. I still think we need roads. And there may be some commissioners that think we don't need roads, and that's fine. They can talk about that position. But this is, again, a project that if you don't build, you're going to continue to have traffic problems in the Northeast. The traffic problems are going to become worse with the two schools there. And so, you know, if you go back and say, look, let's just go up to Shamrock Road, you're going to go back to fighting with the 4,000 homes that are in Klarna Estates, who, you know, like I said, have hired attorneys and lawyers and lobbyists to advocate for their position. Now, the last thing here that I think that we're sort of overlooking is this road basically protects Centerville Road, which is a two-lane canopy road, which environmentalists love, and I love. It goes all the way out to Miccosukee Gap. So in a way, you could say this is an environmental project that is relieving pressure on the canopy road Centerville. And so, look, I'm going to get some more numbers on exactly how this is going to impact traffic patterns, because I think that is a major issue here. But this vote, or I think the blueprint meeting to reconsider this or to address this again, will be on June 17th. And listen, I can't emphasize enough that this was supposed to be just a formality because they had already had public input for the last couple of years. To argue that this has not been publicly vetted, I think, is not true, but we'll see what happens. I mean, again, I think the commissioners are going to have to vote on this again on June the 17th, and they're going to have to get some sense of, is this just a couple of property owners that are not happy with this, or is there more to this? That's going to be an interesting meeting on June the 17th, and we'll keep you posted on that. All right, when we get back, we're going to run through the City Commission agenda, which will take place tomorrow. A couple interesting items on there that I'll get you updated on when we get back. So stay tuned. It's the Tuesday edition of Above the Fold. I'm Steve Stewart. We'll be right back. Hi, welcome back to Above the Fold here on Real Talk 93.3. Above the Fold is brought to you by Spartan Stoneworks. One of the most common and cost-effective upgrades anyone can make to their home is the kitchen. You're almost guaranteed to increase the value of your home with an updated kitchen, but quality materials like granite, quartz, and marble countertops can get expensive. Well, not when you go to Spartan Stoneworks. Pricing will be lower than anywhere else because they do not mark up the cost of the stone materials. The way they say it, since they didn't carve it out of the mountain themselves, they're not going to charge any made-up fees as if they did. Great pricing, amazing craftsmanship, and quick turnaround from an honest local company. Give them a call. It's 765-2037. That's 765-2037, and we appreciate their sponsorship. Program note here, we don't have an update on the COVID numbers because they did not update the numbers over the holiday weekend. So 3 days of numbers that have not been updated. So we will try to make some sense of the numbers that they put out. I think they're going to put them out today. And, you know, we normally do the weekly COVID updates for Leon County, and we've been updating the state numbers every 2 or 3 days. I will tell you, we're trying to decide when we're going to quit following these numbers because it's becoming a less and less an issue. Here locally, like I said, we did it weekly. We'll probably do that a couple more times, but we'll see. We'll look at first, we'll look at the numbers that come out here Tuesday. I wanted to let you know why we're not providing that update. Now, City Commission meeting. Before I get to that, real quick, just to go back to the blueprint meeting, the reason why they're going to have another meeting is going to be solely for that the subject of the Northeast Gateway is because of the drop dead date at the end of the month, which has a financial impact. This will be a must-see meeting. We'll be sure and cover it, but it's going to reveal again a lot of, I think, the issues that we're dealing with from a growth standpoint, because our economy, I get the sense things are moving in the right direction from jobs. We're seeing development all over the county, Blueprint is starting to invest money in areas that, you know, the reason for this is it is going to take advantage of that, leverage it. So anyway, we'll keep you up to date on that. Now, to the City Commission meeting, a couple things that I wanted to get you updated on. This is more just a report, but I tell you, you guys, you know, a lot of people sort of just shake their head and move on when you hear that the City of Tallahassee is moving. They've got these clean energy goals. You're like, yeah, right. Well, I'll worry about that when it starts to hit home. Well, look, it's getting ready to hit home. We've seen these solar projects out by the airport, which was part of the clean energy plan. And the thing I will say for the city, you know, there's a professional staff there, and when they get direction from these elected officials, you know, they're pretty good at doing what they're being told to do. I mean, and so this has been this was the deal that they're looking at being 100%, clean, renewable energy across the entire community by 2050. Well, that just doesn't happen in the last 5 years. You start seeing steps toward that, and this is what we're getting in this update. The clean energy update. They're talking about, they're going to be doing They're giving an update on, you know, on the solar progress that they've made. But they're also, you know, they're engaging for studies on the next phase of the community and stakeholder discussion will be explored. The initial findings of this study, which will look at the trade-offs associated with different paths forward to reach these clean energy goals. And one of these paths is, you know, how much is it going to cost us to do large-scale storage of solar energy? And so, I mean, so we're getting down this road, and this is where, you know, you're going to start seeing more and more money is going to have to be spent. And it's, I think this is going to get, we're going to, obviously, we'll do an article on this this item. But it says here that it has no fiscal impact, and I understand it's a report, but if you start looking at some of the things that they're looking at wanting to do, that's definitely a fiscal impact. And I will tell you, I saw, you know, I saw an article in the Wall Street Journal this morning about all of a sudden now they want to wean communities off of natural gas in terms of residents using natural gas for cooking because of its impact on the climate. Well, you know, that's a pretty popular product here in the city of Tallahassee. We're 99%, 98% natural gas in how we generate electricity, but we also have natural gas to the house, and it's been promoted because it is a very efficient way, and natural gas is one of the, is cleaner than coal, the cleaner than some of the other carbon-based fuels, but now we're seeing a move to get rid of that. And so, anyway, just a heads up that this is, you know, this is where we're headed, and we're headed there in a pretty, you know, 2050 is not a long ways off, but the point being this, they want to meet the goal in 2050. So that means they're going to start implementing things up to that point. So anyway, that I consider this to be a big topic, a big policy that will be addressed at the city commission meeting tomorrow. Single-use plastics policy. You know, plastic has always been an issue. This is going to have a fiscal impact of $50,000. Is related to only the city of Tallahassee, and they're trying to do away with all the use of plastic utensils in the city. Again, $50,000 impact, but we're talking about getting rid of plastic plates, cutlery, cups, straws, stirrers, and this is a detailed item showing you how much that is going to change the cost. Because there is a cost, and that's one of the reasons we use plastics is because it's so cheap. But again, this is consistent with sort of the environmental stewardship that they have adopted at the city of Tallahassee. And, you know, again, that's what our community wants. And what we're doing is reporting to you on some of the steps that they're taking to do that. And these are two pretty, I think, significant items that say that, hey, they're moving in that direction. Now, this last topic, and I've got to get through this, is some report. And we're going to, again, we'll do a story on this at Tallahassee Reports, but you listeners here on Above the Fold get some of this stuff before we actually get it into a report. There was an audit done by the city of Tallahassee to evaluate the city's, I guess, their culture of ethics. And so they've got a lot of graphs here in terms of these questions that they've asked. And some of this is not, it's not new material. They're comparing it to the same audit or same set of questions back in 2008. And, you know, they're pretty consistent. You know, does my behavior at work has a direct influence on the city's reputation for integrity? I mean, you know, 95% of the people agreed with that in 08, 95% of the people agree with it in 2019. However, where you get into some changes, and this is what we'll look into, maybe have another update on Thursday, is city leaders support employees who bring misconduct to the attention of supervisors and managers. In 08, that number was 56% agree or strongly agree. That number has dropped to less than 40% in 2019. And it says here, city leaders take appropriate action when made aware of misconduct and unethical behaviors. Back in 08, that number was at 60%, now has fallen to 40%. And so there are some changes in this. And obviously we went through a 10-year period here with, you know, we had voters adopted the Independent Ethics Board. We had the FBI investigation. So there's reason why these elected officials and maybe the city leaders could be taking a hit in this survey. But, anyway, we will we'll cover this more in more detail on Thursday. But this is something, again, my hats off to the city for doing this audit, because you know, it will be brought up. It'll be interesting to hear the comments at the city commission meeting on Wednesday about that, and we'll have that for you on Thursday. All right, well, listen, as information-packed hour, I appreciate you tuning in, and have a great afternoon. We'll be back on Thursday to get you up to date on the city commission meeting. I'm Steve Stewart. You've been listening to Above the Fold.